Appreciate you, Brother Dan, for leading us as we've joined our voices to praise God. And we're grateful for everyone present. We've got visitors here. We've got regular members here. We've got some of our best friends here. Isn't that great? And I appreciate Steve's prayer early on about the fact that we are growing, and we're thankful for that, and we want to ask God to continue to bless us as we grow. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about cocooning for spiritual growth. Let me just first tell you that by way of the title, this is a word that we've been familiar with. Most of us are familiar with the idea of cocooning, but it is a word that has kind of come into our vocabulary, into mine and also Christy's vocabulary in the process of this international adoption. And so we've been going through some education, and one of the things that we've read several different places, we've actually seen some educational videos on this idea of cocooning, is that, you know, when we bring someone from a foreign country into our home, a different dynamic, you know, a different environment, a different culture, a different way of looking at things, a different way of eating. Food's going to be different. There's going to be a lot of difference in that. And so this idea of cocooning is that we are going to have to take a period of time where we just kind of cocoon our daughter that we will be getting here from Colombia. We'll have to cocoon her and kind of give her some time to grow into our family, into our culture, into our lifestyle, into what we understand and know by way of religion. And so that's been a very important word to us in our process. But having said that, I got to thinking about how adequate and appropriate that idea is for spiritual growth. And believe it or not, the Bible does mention this idea, this concept of cocooning, if you will, on a number of fronts, and I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, and hopefully this will be a blessing to you. Now, the passage that Chuck read a few moments ago from 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about that now in Christ we are a new creation. And just think about that for a moment. Understanding that we once were from another country, if you will, right? But then we come to Christ. We are immersed into Him, and now we are brand new. We've got this new family. We've got this new way of thinking. We've got this new culture, this new community. We've got this new tribe, if you will. And so everything's brand new in Christ. And so what God wants us to do is He wants us to grow as new creatures. We are born again, we might say, from John 3, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And so we're brand new, and we've got to mature. And there needs to be a process involved where we are cocooning. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But I've got, this is not a new revelation. You know I'm really weird, right? And so I've got different ways of thinking and processing. And so I'm going to take a little bit of a unique way to get to this morning. But I want you to see it. If you will, there's a passage in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verses 6 through 11. And here's what the proverb writer says. Go to the ant. Now get this. The proverb writer, now these are the words of God. He's writing, sharing the words of God. And so this proverb writer on behalf of God is saying, I want you to consider this little insignificant ant in the broad scheme of things. Okay? So the proverb writer is drawing our attention to something that seems rather insignificant. When you got up this morning, unless you had them in your house, how many of you thought about ants this morning? Anyone? You know, no, oh, some of you did. Some of you thought about ants. I'm impressed. Some of you thought about ants this morning. Okay. Have you been bitten by a fire ant before? Okay, that's not a pleasant thought. Some of you are thinking about that. But he's wanting us to consider it for a purpose, a reason. So he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? Talking about the lazy person. Will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come upon you as one that travels. And you want as an armed man. So here's the proverb writer. He's telling people who are somewhat lazy, I want you to consider a couple of things about the ant. Consider the ant for just a moment. And so there's two points that I think that are really valid that I want to point out, because God is using a part of His creation, bugs, if you will. And God has purpose in everything that He created. We believe that, right? We believe that everything that happens in life has a purpose from God. And so that's kind of our perspective. And so here He's saying, I want you to consider this ant. It has my purpose. It has my creative DNA in it. This is from my hand. And He says, the proverb writer says, I want you to just consider this. Number one, ants are not easily distracted. They're not. You know, they have a task at hand. They're not easily distracted. They don't stop what they're doing in preparation for food, in preparation for shelter. They don't stop what they're doing and get sidetracked. They stay on task. And that's kind of the second thought here. They understand what they're doing, why they're doing it. That's the purpose for which they exist. And they just stay on task. And so it tells me, from my perspective, that when the proverb writer is saying, I want you to consider this, one of the things he's saying is, you can even look at some of the most insignificant things of God and see His purpose. That God wants us, right? Because He was telling people, consider this, for the purpose of getting people to not be distracted and to understand the task at hand. And I think that's true in life. You want to be successful in business? You want to be successful in life? Don't get distracted. Understand the task at hand. And those are the first couple of things that kind of... So God's inviting us to consider His creation, inviting us to consider this ant that I believe the proverb writer is saying, that's how our God is. Our God, if you take that thought through Scripture, our God is very focused, isn't He? He understood what He was doing. There was purpose in it. And He didn't get distracted, sidetracked by way of creation. And I just think this is a beautiful part of this. Now, I want to shift a little bit of our thinking for just a few moments. Let me go back. Let me share a couple of verses. Let's do that. This idea, first of all, about being distracted. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 39, he says, concerning us, God's people, we are not those who draw back to perdition. We're not those kind of people who draw back, who fade away, fall away. We're people who don't get distracted. We don't get bogged down by sideline issues. It does happen to people, and it happens to churches. But God doesn't want that to happen to us. He wants us to be focused, to understand the task at hand. And then also the second point about understanding the task at hand, Hebrews chapter 12, just a couple of chapters over. One of the things the Hebrew writer says is for us to, in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Some versions say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Understand why we are here. We are here to honor God, to give Him glory and praise. We're here to help others to come to know God. That's our task at hand. And sometimes we get so bogged down with understanding our purpose that we get sidelined with issues, or we become unfocused. And God doesn't want us to be that way. Now back to this. Let's shift gears for just a few moments, because I want to talk to you about new creation. Because that's really the idea in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, is that we need to consider this object, this idea of new creation. And I want to talk a little bit about the new creation from a perspective that is given in Job. One of the things that Job talks about in Job 27, verse 18, it's interesting, and it could also mean the way a spider takes its web and covers as it's developing other little spiders in that stage. But some versions use the term cocoon. And I want you to look at Job 27, verse 18. The house he built is like a moth's cocoon, or a booth set up by a watchman. You know, a watchman is enclosed in a booth, and it's a protection for him. And so if we think about that in terms of our spiritual growth, in terms of God's house, what does God do? He covers us individually, doesn't He? How does He cover us? With the blood of Jesus. He sort of wraps us in the blood of His Son. and he protects us the way a watchman is protected in a booth, or the way a moth is protected in a cocoon. But when we think about the new birth and this idea of new birth, you remember in John chapter 3 when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus? Twice in verse 4 and verse 9 in that discussion, Jesus says, "I tell you, you must be born again or you cannot go to heaven." Now those are the words of Jesus. Nicodemus, as he's having this discussion with Jesus, he says, "Well, how can that be? I mean, can a man enter into a womb a second time?" And Jesus is not talking about an actual physical rebirth. He's talking about a spiritually being born again, being born in Christ. Ultimately, he's going to be talking about being covered by the blood that he will shed on the cross. But twice Nicodemus in verse 4 and 9 doesn't really understand the discussion. And I only share that to say that sometimes understanding the fact that we are new, we get a little confused at times. And we want to hang on to the old instead of reaching out, moving forward with the new. And so I want to shift gears for the rest of this lesson, and I want to talk a little bit about transformation and how it occurs in the cocoon for a caterpillar that eventually goes to a butterfly. Now, you understand the process, right, of a caterpillar that eventually gets in the cocoon, and in the process of being in that cocoon, he ultimately grows while he's in that cocoon. And it's in the process of that cocoon that that growth is a transformation that becomes something so beautiful, so new, something so different, if you will. I mean, when you consider how this in many ways is a picture of being born again, we are born again in the blood of Jesus. The caterpillar's metamorphosis provides this kind of illustration. The caterpillar or larva is in the feeding phase. You know, it's eating on leaves, it's getting all ready, and then ultimately it moves into that chrysalis stage, that pupa stage, if you will, where eventually it's going to be in that cocoon and it's going to grow, it's going to develop. That's where all of this transformation occurs, in that cocoon. And so when we've been going through this education, that's kind of the idea that we have to provide a cocoon for this new member of our family coming into our home so that she can go through a transformation, if you will, to be an Abernathy, to ultimately be a Christian, to be a part of God's kingdom, to ultimately be an American citizen. I mean, there's just so much that goes into that. Well, that's kind of the process here with our spiritual growth. And so what happens eventually is that caterpillar will eventually transform into something so beautiful. How many of you just like going and out and looking in fields and in around flowers and just seeing beautiful caterpillars? Now, one of the interesting things is that once this transformation takes place, you know, as a caterpillar will feed on leaves, right, and different things like that. But in this process, when transformation happens, the butterfly doesn't go back to leaves, you know. No, now it moves on to beautiful nectar, something sweet, something so much better. Now, how would you, if you had a choice, which would you rather eat, leaves or nectar? I mean, think of it. Well, some of you really like salad. You may say, "Oh, I don't know." You know. Okay, you kind of get the point, though, right? You know, and so in this transformation, think about it. Spiritually speaking, when we are born again in Christ, we are new creation, a new creature. We don't go back to the old way of living. No, we move on to something better. We move on to something more glorious. Do you ever consider the fact that you are, as you are in Christ, a new creation? That you are something totally different than what you were. If you're not, there is a problem. If you're not. We are now in Christ supposed to be radically different than what we were outside of Christ. Wouldn't you agree? That our mentality, the way we think about things is different. The way that we respond to people is different. The way we live morally is different. We are transformed. You remember Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the latter part of verse 10, "I have come that they may have" what? "Life and more abundantly." God wants us to experience a joyful life. And that's the life that He wants us to experience in Christ. But how many of us remember that we are a new creation? Well, there's this cocooning phase, and this is the phase for growth. for every one of us. We've got a couple of our members here who are pregnant now. And that womb, what is that womb? That's a place for growth. It's the same process that something is growing on the inside that starts out as life coming together by the blessing and goodness and graciousness of God, but that matures into a beautiful baby that will be held and loved and that will grow and mature. But there's a process where that transformation happens. And certainly that's true with this idea of cocooning. Peter put it this way, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Now listen, he's saying, don't fall away. You're brand new now. You need to be moving forward, growing spiritually. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does God want us to do? Grow. And that growth process, it's a time where we need to be cocooning, if you will. And I want you to consider this. It needs to happen, number one, personally. Okay? It needs to happen personally. Every one of us individually, our individual family unit, we need to be growing spiritually. And we have to be cocooning. Let me tell you, this is true for couples. Couples who do not get together and provide a shield around and focus on God, not get distracted. Couples that do that grow spiritually. They grow closer together. They journey toward heaven. Couples that don't do that, that get distracted, they get sidelined with various sinful things. Until before long, you know what happens? They start to grow apart. And there needs to be cocooning that takes place. Men, let me tell you, God is expecting you to be the leader in this area. Amen? It is your responsibility from God to help your spouse get to heaven. She, as Peter would put it, is an heir of salvation. As Paul would put it, you need to love her the way Christ loves the church. You need to help her to grow and to mature so that you can present her the way Paul puts it before God. She's an heir of salvation. Ladies, it is your responsibility to assist your husband in this same way. To help your husband get to heaven. To understand that he too is an heir of salvation. And that you need to be working on this together. Don't get sidetracked. Don't be on the be distracted by what's going on in the world around you. If there are areas in your life where there are distractions, then what you need to do in this cocooning process is you need to get rid of those distractions. If it means getting rid of a phone, get rid of the phone. If it means getting rid of friends, get rid of friends. If it means spending more time in prayer and in the Word, do that so that you grow closer together. This is an awkward stage for some, but it is a necessary stage for some. But also for our children. I want to tell you, the devil and the world wants our children. They do. And you know what? They're going to bid for their attention and their time and their thinking. They're going to do that. The world's going. Satan is going to do that. And if he can get you distracted instead of cocooning and preparing your children spiritually, children are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge. Paul, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, says you need to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. That is our responsibility as parents, first and foremost. Everything else is secondary. Cocoon, if you will. Cocooning is important for our children, and then it's important for our choices. Again, we need to put, if you will, a cocoon around our mind and our hearts for the decisions that we make. We need to abstain from sin, and when we do sin, we need to acknowledge that sin, and when we acknowledge that sin, we need to ask for forgiveness. God will forgive, but if we just continue to live in that environment, then what happens is we are separated from God. We ultimately are separated from the people that we love, and we end up going in a direction that completely takes us away from spiritually growing. And not only acknowledging sin, asking for forgiveness is a vital part. Coming and asking God to forgive is an absolute necessity. The second thing is collectively. We need to do this as a church. Okay? There is a personal side to this. And our elders understand this aspect, this idea of cocooning spiritually. We need to provide a positive environment right here at the Full Circle Church of Christ. Amen? That needs to be the environment that people, regardless of the sin that they are involved in out there, they come in here and this is a safe place. We talk a lot in our society about a safe place. That's what cocooning is. Cocooning is a safe place. This is a haven, if you will, for those who are weary. Let me just remind every one of us, because I think we need these reminders on occasion. I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. And we all make mistakes. And you know what? With others who make mistakes, we have to be willing to forgive. We have to be willing to help them through those moments of difficulty, and we need to embrace them when they walk through these doors. If they're living a lifestyle that's contrary to Jesus, what a better place for them to be than in the positive atmosphere of the Full Circle Church of Christ. Amen? Because they can come to know Jesus, they can experience our love, and they can be what God intended for them to be. That's just exciting. This is just a great place for that. We need to provide a positive atmosphere, but we also need to proclaim the truth. We're not going to get sidelined on or distracted with issues that don't really matter. And some people love that. They love talking about the sideline issues. You know, we're going to stick with the Word of God. Don't you agree? Isn't that going to be our stance? That we're going to know the truth, we're going to proclaim the truth, and we're going to live the truth? That's going to be our direction. Our elders understand that. We have discussions a lot about just staying focused and preaching the truth. Don't get distracted with the sideline issues. And then number three, we're going to present opportunities for you to spread your wings and fly. That's what God created us for. Remember, we're new creation. We're like that butterfly. You know, we start out as a caterpillar, but we end up as a butterfly. And God created us to fly. And I want you to think about that. If you're a butterfly, why are some of us still crawling around instead of flying? I mean, he didn't create butterflies to crawl. He created butterflies to fly. And God wants you and me to soar in our spiritual growth, to soar as a new creation in Christ. He wants us to be what he intended for us to be. It's up to you to decide, am I crawling as a child of God or am I flying? Am I being all that God intended for me to be as a new creation? Or am I settling for something less? God wants us to be the best we can be. If we can help you in your response to Him this morning by going through that process of confessing Christ, being immersed in the waters of His blood to have our sins washed away, if we can help you in that, that's how you become a member of the body of Christ, is you are immersed for the remission of sins. And God adds you to the church, Acts 2:47. If we can help you in any way in that response, we're here and willing and ready. If you're a member, and maybe you're just learning, you got your wings and you're just kind of learning, you're flapping slowly, but that's okay. Because you'll eventually get there. It could be that you've been a member for a long time and you're still just crawling around. Instead of flying, soaring, if you will. Enjoying all. Isn't the perspective better from a view on high than it is from crawling around on the ground? And that's what God designed for us to be. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come while together we stand and sing.